next on the 5 o'clock report.
The criminals aren't walking up to Border Patrol and giving themselves up.
That will benefit some of the least, the last, and the lost.
And he had an upcoming retirement date of May 1st. He was 1 month away.
There's going to be forums and debates and advertising.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. The pandemic-era rule that immediately turned away illegal immigrants at the border will end May 23rd.
We're being told you could say goodbye to border agents being out on patrol when Title 42 drops.
Fox correspondent Bill Milligan speaking with Border Patrol today.
It's so important to have those agents out on the front line because they're the ones catching the criminal elements. The criminals aren't walking up to Border Patrol and giving themselves up. They're the ones who don't want to be caught, and they are effective at getting away.
The weeks are winding down for government officials to make room in holding facilities for an unexpected flood of asylum seekers. On Capitol Hill, a bill to decriminalize and legalize marijuana at the federal level is on its way to the Senate after clearing the U.S. House. Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer claims the bill is good for states.
We're paying the price of a lack of consistent federal policy.
Texas Democratic Congressman Al Green says the measure would expunge many former drug convictions.
I see this as a bill that will benefit some of the least, the last, and the lost.
Opponents continue to voice concern about the addictive nature and mental issues linked to marijuana. The Democratic bill faces an uncertain future in the 50-50 Senate. To Eastern Europe, Russian troops have left Chernobyl in Ukraine. NBC's Richard Engel reports.
Russian troops have begun to leave the Chernobyl nuclear site, which is still radioactive after the 1986 nuclear meltdown, after Russian troops began digging trenches into the contaminated soil and contaminating themselves.
Russian troops took over the plant during the first week of the conflict. The U.S. economy added another 431,000 jobs last month. President Biden says the economy has gone from being on the mend to being on the move.
Over the course of my presidency, our recovery has now created 7.9 million jobs. More jobs created over the first 14 months of any presidency in any term ever.
The unemployment rate dipped to 3.6% in March. That's down from 3.8% in February. The president addressing high gas and food prices, putting much of the blame on Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Mr. Biden has ordered the release of 1 million barrels of oil to be released daily from the nation's reserves for 6 months. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki sidestepping reports that she's headed to MSNBC in the coming weeks. She was pressed on whether it was ethical for her to remain in the White House while negotiating with the network.
I have taken the ethics, legal requirements to the highest, very seriously.
Psaki outlining White House policy.
It is the policy of this White House to ensure that anyone who is having conversations about future employment does so through consultation with the White House Counsel's Office.
She returned to the briefing room podium today after a 12-day absence due to a positive COVID test. And Canada is making it easier for people to visit. Effective today, tourists no longer need to get a COVID test before they leave home. Those with two Pfizer or Moderna shots are considered fully vaccinated. Travelers who don't meet those requirements may still enter with tests and by quarantining. Still to come this Friday, remembering another fallen trooper in PA, a map update in New York, and a history of fools.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life forecast. Still a few snow showers in spots this evening, but the activity won't last very long. The general trend overnight will be for clearing skies. The temperatures, though, will be cold, falling into the 20s in all locations as we head through the overnight hours. We'll have plenty of sunshine as we head through the day tomorrow, and temperatures will be pretty well up in the 40s in most spots and 50 or better across the southern tier and in Pennsylvania. Then clouds return for tomorrow night as the more light precipitation, either rain or snow showers showing up, and it'll be an unsettled Sunday with a lot of clouds and some occasional light precipitation. Temperatures for the most part in the low and middle 40s.
Thank you, Ken. Now for more of what's happening where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. It's been a brutal month for law enforcement in PA. Thursday afternoon shootout claimed the life of a Lebanon City police officer. Lebanon Mayor Sherry Capello.
Fatally injured was Lieutenant William Lebo, age 63, with 40 years of service with our department. And he had an upcoming retirement date of May 1st. He was 1 month away.
Lebanon County DA Pierre Hess Graff says the 34-year-old suspect, who is also dead, suffered from multiple mental issues.
A review of Shaw's criminal history showed domestic assaults, domestic disturbances, and a protection from abuse order, as well as a violation.
Two injured officers are in stable condition following the domestic violence call. This week's incident is the third law enforcement death this month in the Keystone State. That's more line of duty deaths than the police in Pennsylvania experienced through all of 2021. Deal on the 2023 New York State budget. State lawmakers have yet to reach an agreement on Governor Hochul's spending plan. Republican member Mary Beth Walsh tells WNYT,
"I'm hearing a lot about the money for the Bills Stadium. People are really upset about it. I think that what people really want to see are fixes to bail reform."
Democratic Assemblyman John McDonald agrees there will be some criminal justice changes.
"It'll be improvement on what the changes were made in the past, still recognizing the principles that you're innocent until proven guilty, and just because you're poor doesn't mean you should languish in jail."
Lobbyist Jason McGuire tells Family Life bail reform is holding up the package.
"There's been some bad blood between the Democratic majorities regarding that issue, and they have left town expecting to return Sunday to pick up budget negotiations."
In other news, a judge has shot down New York State congressional district maps that were redrawn by Democrats. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
"Yeah, the judge ruled the Democrats violated the state constitution when they rejected the independent redistricting commission maps and carved up the state to give Republican voters as few congressional seats as possible. Acting Steuben County State Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister said Democrats sidestepped a bipartisan commission empowered by the people in order to gerrymander those maps. So it's back to the drawing board for lawmakers, quite literally. And Justice McAllister said if the maps still don't pass the smell test, he'll have an expert draw new maps at the state's expense." Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Democrats in the Assembly have filed an appeal. Meanwhile, an Emerson College poll shows Dr. Mehmet Oz and former hedge fund leader David McCormick neck and neck in the May 17th U.S. Senate primary. The survey also shows most Pennsylvania voters are undecided in the primary race for Senate and governor.
"Tells me that the voters haven't really tuned into the race, or if they've tuned in, they really haven't been attracted by any of the candidates."
Polling director Spencer Kimball tells ABC 27,
"There's going to be forums and debates and advertising that's going to try to impact people's opinions, and that should move those numbers."
The nine Republican candidates vying for the party's nomination for governor taking part today in forums for a two-day gathering of PA conservatives. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference near Harrisburg will also feature six of the seven U.S. Senate candidates in a separate forum tomorrow. Both forums will air live on the Pennsylvania Cable Network and be rebroadcast over the weekend. Next at 5, International Justice Mission's Jen Peterson tells us how the group is helping Ukrainian refugees who fled their homes due to Russia's war.
"One of our International Justice Mission team members explained the crisis like this. They said everyone has access to refugees coming through the border on foot, and hundreds of people are coming in every hour. And while many local people are offering genuine help, we just can't be sure that everyone is there to be kind. And so there may be exploiters waiting to take advantage of these already tired and vulnerable women and children. So we need to act now in order to help protect as many vulnerable people as possible. Our team is collaborating very closely with local NGOs in order to provide essential support, which includes things like developing a flyer to put in passports, warning of the risks of trafficking and the helplines that are available for people. In fact, alongside the Romanian National Agency Against Human Trafficking, we were able to distribute more than 8,500 flyers at the border just to create an awareness campaign, highlighting the risks, spotting the signs of trafficking, making people aware of their surroundings. We've been able to coordinate transport for refugees from the border to partner shelters and continuing to organize ongoing transport, as well as advising shelters on safeguarding and trauma-informed care. You know, all of these people are coming with trauma. And so how do we interact with them once they are within these doors? And then we've been able to supply basic supplies to partner shelters and even help shelters to pay for things like heating in very cold conditions."
Great. I want to focus especially on the children because there are so many child refugees and some they've left their homeland without a parent. Is there anything special you're doing helping them as they seek safe shelter, food, and other supplies?
Just heartbreaking that half of the Ukrainian children have been displaced. And our team on the ground is seeing that the majority of people crossing the border are women and children. And as the war continues, our staff is reporting that more and more of them are arriving with little to no resources, with few family contacts or even definite destinations other than just escaping conflict. And we know that the more vulnerable a refugee is, the more at risk they are to potential trafficking. So our teams are helping to give out food and water, to give financial resources for things like taxi rides to airports, because a lot of these people don't have local currency or have no money at all. Helping to call relatives wherever they might be around the world to let them know your family member has arrived in Bucharest safely. And basically tried to make them feel welcome. There's this Greek word philoxenos, which means welcoming the stranger. And even in these hardest times, this is what we are seeing happen right now. In fact, our IJM staff reports that every person that they're coming into contact with is exhausted and emotionally drained. Many even cry when you offer the smallest kindness. And so our team is really wanting to be there to support local churches as they're providing shelter, as they're providing this hospitality. And then we continue to support and train our partner NGOs that are in the area and spread awareness to arriving refugees on ways that they can safeguard themselves and protect each other from trafficking.
And I didn't ask you this at the beginning, but you want to give me a sentence or two about what IJM does on a regular basis?
Yeah. International Justice Mission is a global human rights organization made up of lawyers and investigators and social workers and pastors and everyday Christians like you and me who are passionate about bringing an end to violence against people in poverty. IJM does have a theory of change that if there is consistent and effective law enforcement response over time, then the crime will reduce. Criminals are deterred from committing the crime in the first place.
That's Jen Peterson with International Justice Mission. You can catch up on each of the Family Life news features at fln.org/podcasts. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Wall Street slightly higher at the close. Bank stocks struggled and oil prices fell after President Biden pledged to tap into U.S. oil reserves. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 139 points, the S&P 500 added 15, and the NASDAQ rose nearly 41 points. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Details are available at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Let's have a few laughs. We could certainly use them. Hi, I'm Rob West with a Money Wise Minute. On this April Fool's Day, here are some funny money-related sayings. We'll start with this one. By the time you can make ends meet, they move the ends. Here's another. I used to live paycheck to paycheck, but through hard work and perseverance, I now live direct deposit to direct deposit. Here's a definition of gambling. A sure way of getting nothing for something. With tax day ahead, here's one about taxes. Have you ever noticed a slight tax increase seems to cost you a few hundred dollars, while a substantial tax cut saves you only a few cents? Laughter's good for us. Life's filled with trouble, but as the scriptures say, a cheerful heart is good medicine. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
This is meteorologist Ken McKinley with our Family Life forecast. Still a few snow showers and spots this evening, but the activity won't last very long. The general trend overnight will be for clearing skies. The temperatures, though, will be cold, falling into the 20s in all locations as we head through the overnight hours. We're going to have plenty of sunshine as we head through the day tomorrow, and temperatures will be fairly pleasant, pretty well up in the 40s in most spots and 50 or better across the southern tier and in Pennsylvania. Then clouds return for tomorrow night as some more light precipitation, either rain or snow showers showing up, and it'll be an unsettled Sunday with a lot of clouds and some occasional light precipitation, chilly temperatures for the most part in the low and middle 40s as we finish the weekend on Sunday.
Thank you, Ken. Finally at 5, have you found yourself surprised by someone's joke or prank today? Family Life's Greg Gillespie gives you the history of April Fool's Day.
Since the time of Julius Caesar, much of the world used a calendar where April 1st was the start of each new year. But then, starting in 1582 in France, the new year moved to January 1st. But History.com says there were still a lot of people that would say Happy New Year on April 1st. They were called April Fish or April Fools. More recently, many American corporations enjoy a little fun with the public. For example, in 2018, Burger King said it was going to roll out the new chocolate Whopper, while eHarmony introduced a new dating app for dogs. On April 1, 1996, Taco Bell advertised that it had purchased the Liberty Bell. Despite the number of complaints that Philadelphia's Park Service Rangers had to put up with, that wasn't true then. It still isn't true now. No fooling. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
Thank you, Greg. And that's the world we live in this first day of April. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.